Now then, for the next couple of hours, I'm just going to talk to you. I don't know why you're laughing. About Christmas. No, we'll get done as fast as we can, and then you can go and have your turkey and your presents or whatever you want to do. But actually, this is a little bit more important about what we're going to talk about now. But at Christmas, we give gifts, but we also give other things in this country more than any other country in the world. Do you know what that would be? You may speak. Pardon? Love, we give love, but we give to people. Cards. Thank you. Do you know how many cards we give out in the UK every year? Millions. That's hedging your bet. 1.8 billion cards. That's amazing, isn't it? We give out 1.8 billion cards. Well, think about how many you've given out, and everybody else does the same. And do you know how many trees that costs? Oh, look, you may pull faces, never. It's on the internet. 200,000 trees. 200,000 trees goes into these every year. Keep it going, guys, because we're planting a lot more than 200,000. It's lovely to get a card. But on a card, you get all sorts of different pictures, don't you? Yeah? I don't know what kind of pictures you've got on your cards this year, but I've got some lovely cards. There you go. A lovely wintry scene with Father Christmas. Yeah? You get lots with Father Christmas on, don't you? Coming flying around. I thought this was lovely. I think this was from Joanne. Of course, I can't have Christmas without Winnie the Pooh and his family. Hey, wishing me a Merry Christmas. And then I bought these two to give to people, so you may have received one of these. Pam didn't like these, but I did. Silent Night. Yeah? Silent Night with the pigs. I like that. And Merry Christmas to you with the sheep. I think that's quite good. Yeah? But to be honest with you, those kind of things, that's okay. But really, Christmas is all about this kind of thing. Joseph and Mary on the donkey, looking for a place to have a baby. And then you get cards like these with the stable. And there, what have we got there, Ben? Who's in that? Can you see there? There's three people.
Three kings.
Yeah, three kings with gifts for Jesus in the stable there. Okay. And then this one, this was from Chris and Bev. There we've got the stable in the middle, Jesus right in the middle there. And all around you've got like shepherds and wise men and things like that. So that's the traditional nativity scene that we see. I thought we'd just do our own little nativity scene. Martin, can you come and draw us a card quickly? We're going to do it very quick, this, okay? So, in any card, we're going to just design our own card very quickly. What would you have to have in the centre of any Christmas card?
A nativity scene.
Let's nail that down a little bit. Let's go a little bit more specific, because that's spot on, but we want to be a little bit more specific. What's got to go in the middle? I'm looking at David. I know I'm bog-eyed, but David, what do you reckon? What should go right in the middle? There you go. So let's put the manger in the middle, yes? So we've got a manger in the middle. What goes in there next, anybody?
Jesus.
Thank you, Stefania. Jesus goes in the middle of the cradle. Now, who else should we put on our card? What do you think? Excellent. Let's put Mary and Joseph in there, Martin. Okay. What else can we add? Joanne?
We're going slow down. No shepherds.
Okay. You're going to throw some shepherds in there in a minute, Martin. Okay. Do you think there'll be a plasma TV in there?
No.
No. All right. No plasma TVs in this one, Martin. PlayStations? No. All right. We'll get this. I thought you were going to do stick people. That, hurry up.
I'm trying.
Come on, you're slow.
What do shepherds hold? You said that without moving your lips. That was amazing. Say it again.
Crooks.
Exactly right, crooks. So shepherds are going to have crooks. What else would be in the traditional nativity scene? A donkey. Put me in there, Martin. A donkey. Animals. Because we're in a stable, aren't we? Yes? So we've got shepherds, we've got Jesus, Mary, Joseph. Got a manger. We've got to put a donkey in there. What else have we got? Eleanor. Eleanor. A Christmas tree. Excellent. We're going to have a Christmas tree in our nativity scene. All right. You think there'd be any snow in the stable? No, because it has a roof, that's why. Silly question, wasn't it? So we got a donkey, that's fine. Christmas tree, Martin. What else are we going to have in there? Wide men. Wise men. Wise men. And you can make them wide if you want, because they were kings. Very wealthy men. Very important men. They probably did eat a lot. Very strong camels. What else can we have in there? A star. We have wise men and a star. Okay. We're nearly done. There can't be much more we can throw in there. What else would be in there? What do you reckon? Anything else can be? Sheep. Could be sheps in there. Sheps. Have you got a king? Put a crown in there. That's looking pretty good. That's pretty good. People often think Christmas is about parties. Do you think there'll be a nightclub next door, maybe? No? I think you just want a wise man. The wise men. We've got the star. David. Brilliant. Presents in there. Presents. And what do you reckon, Scott? Three kings. We're just going to go for one. Because Martin's going very fast, but it's not fast enough. And present. Present at the bottom of the tree. Okay, well, there's our nativity scene, okay? We've built our picture, and in that scene, and do you think this is how it would be, almost? Do you think everything would be there? What do you think wouldn't be there in Jesus' time on that nativity scene? Christmas tree wouldn't be there. No, you're all right. Anything else wouldn't be there? Do you think that's how it would be? We've got nothing electrical in there. That's excellent. Well, that's brilliant. Big clap for Martin, I think, for doing that. So that's a traditional-ish nativity scene, except for the Christmas tree, because that would not have been there. Now, actually, at the time Jesus was born and was a little baby, the shepherds wouldn't have been there either, because they came a little bit after, okay? So they wouldn't be there at the exact time that Jesus was born. But we've got all of the notes. Does anybody like Morecambe and Wise here? Do you remember when he played that song? It was all wrong. He said, we've got all the notes, but not necessarily in the right order. That's what we've got there. All the notes, but not necessarily in the right order. Everything was there. Joseph and Mary were there. Animals in the stable. There were shepherds there. And then a wise man came a little bit later. Now, a couple of weeks ago, Chris talked about the shepherds. And the shepherds came down off the mountain into that stable. And they came to do one thing, and that was to worship the new king. To worship the baby. That first Christmas was all about worshipping this new king that had been born to the world. Now, Jesus has many titles. The Word made flesh. God, who is from heaven, comes to earth to live like you and me. The Prince of Peace. The King of Kings. Jehovah, God with us. Messiah, Savior of the world. All of those names. But all of those people that went to see him that day and came after all went to worship him. Now, today on this Christmas day, our card should, as it does do, it should have Jesus right slap bang in the middle, because that's what Christmas is all about. It's all about Jesus being born. It's all about him. It's not about parties. It's not about presents. It's not about having fun, but we can use it for that if we're celebrating him. The real meaning is that little baby in the middle of that picture. But on Sunday, we're going to dig a little bit more deeply than that, so come on along and learn a little bit more about that and the wise men. But in this Christmas story, the wise men follow. They're not there the day Jesus was born or the day after Jesus was born. They follow. They actually came maybe a year to 2 years later. We don't exactly know, but something like that. Well, anyway, we're going to open our Bibles again very quickly. And we're going to read Matthew chapter 2. And we're going to look at these wise men, or the Magi, as the Bible tells us. In Matthew chapter 2, starting at verse 1. Because after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi, or wise men from the east, came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them, "Where is the Christ? Where's the Christ was to be born?" "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star appeared. He had sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on from there and followed the star that they had seen in the east. And it went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and incense and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. That's exactly what happened. It's an amazing story, but it's a real story. It's not a made-up, make-believe story. It really happened. Now, three things very briefly this morning I want us to see from this passage here. First of all, search. Go and search. Number two, go and see. And number three, go and surrender. So first of all, go and search. The way the wise men were searching, they were searching for a great king. Not just any old person. They were searching for a great king. In fact, in verse 2 it says, "We've come looking for the king of the Jews." The greatest king on earth. The king of the Jews. These men were looking for this new king. And they'd been travelling for years. Now, in the east, it's not like here. It's hot. You're going over deserts. It's hard, hard work. There's no easy roads out there. And these guys had been travelling, following what they'd seen happening in the skies. And they'd also been learning, and we'll learn more about this on Sunday. They'd been remembering and what they'd been taught from generations past about what the prophets had said about this new king, how this new king would come into the world. So they had all of that going on in their minds and all of the things they were seeing in the skies, and they were searching. They were searching for this new king. And what do? They turn up in Jerusalem and they go and ask the man who regarded himself, who was titled as being the king of the Jews, "Hello, Mr. King of the Jews. We've come to see the new king of the Jews." And here is one of the greatest understatements in the Bible, because it says Herod was disturbed. Too right, he was disturbed. Herod was a horrible, evil man. Evil, evil man. He was more than disturbed. This is nothing like that, but just imagine you turn up in Liverpool's changing room and say, "Looking for the new striker, the new greatest striker," and Mr. Suarez is sat there who thinks he's the king of goals. He's not going to be too happy. He's there, the team players say, "Oh no, not him, I'm looking for the new striker." This is a little bit more serious than that. They're looking for the new king of the Jews. They'd been searching. And these guys were committed men. They were committed. They were persistent. They were determined. They didn't give up. They kept going month after month looking for Jesus. And they turn up at Jerusalem. And then they go from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. Now, I found this yesterday. Some of you may already know this. But Bethlehem means house of bread. Did you know that? I didn't. I learned that yesterday. And I told Pam, because I said, "You won't believe what Bethlehem is called, House of Bread." She says, "Yeah." I said, "Jesus was titled the Bread of Life." I thought that was great. None of you did, but I did anyway. Excellent. Jesus was the Bread of Life. He was born. What does bread do? It fills us up. It gives us energy. It feeds us. Jesus was born in a house of bread, the Bread of Life. Wonderful. Anyway, onward and upward. So, I have a question for you. If you knew that a very special person was to be born and he was going to impact your lives, how far would you travel? You see people go and see the new baby born in London earlier on in the year, and people came from all over the country. They hop in their cars or jump in a train, and it doesn't cost them a right lot to get there to see, but it cost these men. They searched and they were committed and they traveled a long way. Some of you have travelled a few miles to get here this morning. It's no real commitment just to come a few miles to come and worship this king. These men, it cost them. But these guys were also excited, really, really excited to go and search after this new king. But you know, this search wasn't just to go and see a king. It was more than that. They were searching to find a saviour. They were searching for a Messiah too. They were searching because they wanted hope. Hope for something better. But then secondly, something amazing. Go and see. These men saw something amazing in the skies. These wise men were very well taught men, and they were astrologers. So they could read the stars. Now, I don't believe the stars tell us anything now other than how amazing God is. But the sky spoke to these people because God had foretold this is how it's going to be. You're going to see something amazing in the skies. And these men said this, "We have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." Now there's something very profound there, just in that that line there. We have seen his star. Not any old star, we've seen his star. It was Jesus' star that they saw. The babe in the cradle there, they saw his star. You know, we see millions of stars if we look into the night sky. Millions and millions of stars. And so did they. They saw millions of stars, but that star was his star. It declared, there's a new king born today, and you need to go and find him. It was the child's star. It was Jesus' star. It was the Word made flesh's star. Now, Jesus made that star. He made that star before he was born. That sounds crazy. If you turn to John 1 with me, right at the beginning of John's Gospel, it says, "In the beginning was the Word." Jesus was the Word before he came into the world and became Jesus. "And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made." He made that star. It's wild, isn't it, to think that that baby in the cradle was the star breather. He made that star. And these guys knew this was his star. It was proclaiming him. And these men had seen this star and they'd recognized it was the star of a great king. Now, there's all sorts of different ideas about the star. People have all different sorts of ideas. Some people just believe it was a great light, God's light, that just led the way and these men followed. Spurgeon believes that it was a star, a specific star that just led them along the way in different places until they got there. But you know, Spurgeon talked or quotes some of the early church fathers, the people that came after Jesus and the apostles in those early days. And he says, "Chrysostom and the early fathers are wonderfully positive about many things which Scripture leaves in doubt." I think that's great. "But as these eminent divines drew up their imagination for their facts, we are not under bonds to follow them. They aver, though, that this star was so bright as it was visible all day long." So Spurgeon's bringing doubt that maybe this star shone so bright that it was actually in the daytime. Now, I want to tell you something about the sky, the night the wise men were around. Because with modern science and astronomy, they can actually recreate what the sky was like 2,000 years ago. It's quite amazing. It's a little bit beyond my pea-brained brain. But these guys can do that. And they recreate the skies. And I saw this amazing program where they did that. And way back in Jesus' time, just after Jesus' time, there were some scrolls drawn up. And the men like these magi, astronomers, had written all sorts of pictures about what goes on in the sky. And in the sky, it was believed, even for these men, that Aries was a very special place to look. It's prophesied that if you looked into Aries one day, that would declare within that constellation some great king was going to be born. And they believed that Jupiter was a very special planet. In fact, Jupiter was called the planet of the kings. Is regarded as being the planet of the kings. Now, in the time, literally in the year before Jesus is born, some things started happening. Stars started coming into the Aries, which weren't normally there. And round about the time they were travelling and they were following this activity in the skies, what happened was quite amazing, because round about March, April time, when Jesus was probably born, Jupiter comes into Aries. Doesn't usually come into there. And then the same day, Saturn comes into Aries. And the same day, our sun also comes into Aries. And the same day, our moon goes into Aries. That's like, what's going on here? These guys would have been going crazy. What's going on in the skies? And then we talk about the light in the daytime. And this is what happened. the moon was eclipsed. And as the moon moved away, it revealed Jupiter, the star of the king, bright shining in the daytime. Isn't that amazing? Bright shining in the daytime. Can I tell you what happened that day? God was saying, my son is born to you. He's declaring there is a new king born today. Now, that's what they say happened. To me, it doesn't really matter. There was a star that shone in the sky. Whether it was a star that led them across the desert or whether that's what happened, doesn't matter. A star shone in the sky that day and it declared there is a new king born today. But not just any old king, a super king. The heavens declared it. And these guys knew it because they said, we have seen his star. This star belongs to the king. But then finally, what do we see here? Go and surrender. Verse 9 and 11. Read these again with me. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Isn't it a wonderful picture? Isn't it a wonderful scene? These men, they'd heard, they'd searched for ages, they'd seen the stars, and they'd been going crazy about that. Then they go from Herod, this horrible king, and they go, and what does it say in verse 10? He said, they were overjoyed at seeing the star again. It's there again. We're ready. We're going to follow it. We must nearly be there. And then in verse 11, it says, they bowed down and they worshipped him. These kings, these incredibly powerful, wise men, they get down on their knees in this child's house and worship him. He wasn't in a palace. He wasn't in a castle. These guys came from palatial places. They got down on their knees and they worshipped this little boy and they gave him their gifts. It's amazing. They kneel before this child, recognizing that he is the great king. You know, to finish, I have to ask you all, and I have to ask myself, what's my response to Jesus this morning, on Christmas morning? What's our response? Are you overjoyed, like these men were, to be able to come and see Jesus today? Are you overjoyed about that? Would you bow down and worship the new king, not just born today, but born 2013 years ago, or whatever it was? Will you celebrate the fact that God loved you so much that he gave his son to come and die for you, for your sins, in your place? Jesus was no ordinary human being. The whole Christmas story tells it. He was born of a virgin. He wasn't born like you or I. The angels came and spoke to shepherds and sent them on the way to go and celebrate. The heavens declared it, as we've learnt this morning. And these wise men searched and didn't give up. It's an amazing, amazing thing. In John 1 again, from that passage I just read to you earlier, in John says this, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Jesus brings life to all those who go and bow and worship. Jesus brings joy and hope and forgiveness. Jesus saves. And you and I, we need saving. And you know, we'll never get fully excited about Christmas until we come and we bow and we love this baby in a manger. We'll never really get excited about it properly. Until we search out the crib and worship the baby, and until we seek out the place where he ended up, which was on the cross, until we recognize what he did for us, we will never really get excited about Christmas. It'll just be another day. Another party, another year, or maybe just another depressing time of year which you just wish didn't come round. Whatever it is, until you recognize this Savior and you love him. Jesus is alive. He didn't stay in the grave. He rose again. He conquered sin and death. He's victorious. And he did it because he loved you and because he loves me. So all of you, search for Jesus this Christmas. Search for him. Surrender to Jesus and worship him. Be overjoyed to meet the new king born today.